We are ready for Halacha Day for Perek Hey and Vav. There's not much Halacha to be found. However, in the very first Pasuk in Perek Hey, it says, Ze Sefer Toldos Adam, right? Biyom Baro Elokim Adam, Ben Musa Elokim Asauso. Okay, that's Pasuk Aleph. And the Pasuk Beis is Zachar Unikiva Baraam. By Varachosam, Ekra Shemam Adam, Biyom Hibaram. That male and female, he created them. Okay. And he called their name Adam on the day of creation. Right? So it sounds like God created and drunkenness being, right? Both male and female. So the Gemara in Megillah tells us that this is one of the psukim that was quote unquote mistranslated or was glossed over by those who were set aside by Ptolemy to write the
70.
To what?
70.
Right, the 70 scholars that are put together, there are 72, Shecharas Ayin Beis Zekenim, Vechnisan Ba'ayin Beis Batim, and he told each one of them, write for me a Torah, Moshe of your Rebbe, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them all the idea that each one agreed to do the same, each one agreed to come out with the same translation. Of course, you have to. We are obliged to add in barrel wine to Ara. That's not such a big miracle. If we put them in the same room and they came out with the same translation, that would have been a bigger miracle.
Right.
But on Jing, yeah, okay. So one of the things that they changed was it says Zachar Unikiva, instead of saying Zachar Unikiva Baram, they wrote Zachar Unikiva Baru, right? The male and female he created. He created them. He created one. He created the one. Meaning to make it clear that he was only created one, as opposed to the plural language he put it in the singular. They made sure to put it in the singular language. Okay, so that's one thing that they learned out from that pasuk. Then the other thing that we learned out from this pasuk is the Mishnah tells us Tani Beis Hillel Omrim Lo Yivatel Adam Mipiravu Ela In King Yeshlo Banim Zachar Unikeva. That a man is not exempt from his mitzvah puravu unless he has created a male and a female child, as it says, the Hashem zachar nikiva baram, that God created male and female, and therefore in our act of copying God, so therefore we're going to have a male and a female. So if you look in the Mishnah, that requirement is actually subject to machlokas. Right, there is a dispute. Anybody know what the other possibility is?
Two sons,
yes. That Beis Hillel is of the opinion that it's male and female, and Beis Shammai is of the opinion that it is two males. So that is one's obligation, is to have two males. Where does Beis Shammai get that idea from? So the Torah Tamima here says, and it seems like he's quoting somebody, but I can't tell who he's quoting. He learns it out from Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu had two sons. Right? He had Eliezer and Gershom, and after that he separated from his wife. So you see, so you can't be, you don't have to be any more from the Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had two sons, and that was it. So too, he could be have two sons, and that was it. That's the source for Beis Shammai. The source for Beis Hillel is that a male and a female. Now here is a question I would like to pose to you: who is Machmir and who is Mekel in that Machlokas? You're smiling like you've heard this before.
No, I'm smiling. If you would say that in a mixed gathering, you get a real big reaction.
Oh, okay. Right. Who is the Chamor and who is Machmir and who is Mekel in this dispute?
I think it's one of which Hillel and Shammai.
Yeah.
There's one of the five things where Shammai is more.
It's not one of the five things.
Not.
It's not listed on one of the five things. That plays into this discussion. Right. So who's considered more Machmir and who's considered more Mekel?
Male and female is the Chamor, I guess, because it's more of a
It's harder to pull off.
I don't know if statistically it is harder, though.
I don't know. It might be. I think there is something to people that have, you know, four or five, six boys in a row. That I think there is something. There is potential that there is a physical reason why one would have only male. One would be more likely to have more males or more females. That is true. But besides that. What?
Beishamai
is always Machmer. That's what I would think. However, you have the following: how could one be more Machmer? One could be more Mekel. So the answer is, in theory, that it's not one isn't more Mekel, one is more Machmer, because you're either going to have two boys, or you're going to have a boy or a girl, right? So one of them you're Yotze, one of them you're not, right? You can't have a Kula or a Chumra. The only way you can have a Kula or a Chumra is if one of them is a Chumra or a Kula on the other one. right? So there is a Yerushalmi that seems to suggest, or the Yerushalmi that does suggest and say, that Beis Hillel is not saying you have to have a boy and a girl. Beis Hillel is a kula on Beis Shammai. Right, that while Beis Shammai says you need to have two boys, come Beis Hillel to say, well, even if you have a boy and a girl, you're still going to be Yotze based on this pasuk in the beginning of Bereishis. Right, so that's interesting. It doesn't sound that way from the pasuk. Meaning, if that's your pasuk, that's your verse that you're using as a source. The source talks about having a boy and a girl. Right, so it's a little hard to say that. Oh, but you don't need that in order to be Yotze. But nevertheless, that's what the Yerushalmi says. Yerushalmi says that Beis Hillel is really a kula. Beis Hillel is really a kula on Beis Shammai. That is the suggestion that the Yerushalmi has. I didn't see the Yerushalmi inside. I'm just reading out of a quote from the Torah Tumimah here. And the Torah Tumimah then goes on and says, and that explains why Rashi quotes Beis Shammai. Rashi over here. Nira dezu hi kavanas Rashi kan shekasa b'divrei Beis Shammai shenei zacharim aval lo zachar nekeva. That's the source. That's what Rashi had in mind here when he said that, when he quoted the words of Beis Shammai that you need two males, but not necessarily a boy and a girl. Kan l'shono. So the problem is, wait a second. Rashi here does not say that. I don't know what he means by Rashi Khan. I'm not sure which Rashi he's referring to. Where that... What happened here? He just went. I'm not sure which Rashi he is referring to. There we go. I'm not sure which Rashi he is referring to, but there is some Rashi someplace that Rashi makes that point. So that is a big kula, right? That means that you could be Yotzi with two boys rather than trying to get a boy and a girl. So do we pask in that way? So we don't pask in that way, right? Why don't we pask in that way? So his question, before you get to that, so he asked, well, wait a second, why would Rashi say that? I mean, why would Rashi think that Yerushalmi would be correct? It seems over the Bavli. So one thing is that when you have a dispute between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, well, if there's a dispute, the Bavli wins. But this isn't necessarily a dispute, right? This is an interpretation of the Mishnah, which is not contained within the Bavli. So therefore, Rashi maybe should quote it. Second of all, Rashi might have been convinced by the discussion earlier that there's a list of leniencies that Beis Shammai has over Beis Hillel, and Beis Shammai is more makeah, more lenient than Beis Hillel, right? And then there are things that Beis Hillel is more lenient than Beis Shammai. The assumption is everything else, Beis Hillel is more lenient than Beis Shammai. This doesn't make the list. So therefore you have to figure out a way for Beis Hillel to be more makeah than Beis Shammai. How do you do that? By saying it's not that Beis Hillel requires male and female, rather it's Beis Shammai requires two males, and Beis Hillel says you're even going to be Yotze if you have a boy. If you have a boy and a girl. So that would be a way of making Hillel more makel. Now the truth is, I gotta go down that list, and let's say they're equal, let's say they're just different, right? Does that mean, every machluk of Shammai Hillel has to be a kula for Beis Hillel? Or when there is one that is more machmer than the other, Beis Hillel is always the one that is going to be lenient, except for a couple of exceptions. Right? So I have trouble saying that you got to go through Shas and try to figure out. Every time it's a machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, is it always that Beis Hillel is going to be more lenient? Or sometimes Beis Hillel is more lenient, and sometimes they're just different from one another and they're having a machlokes. Right? So that's a question that we leave out there. Nevertheless, we don't paskin like that Rashi, the Torah Tamima points out. Rather, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin like the regular reading of the Bavli without the Yerushalmi, that you are going to have a, that if one has, that one is Yotze, the mitzvah of Puravu, once they have a boy and a girl, without a boy and a girl, you are not yet Yotze, that mitzvah. Okay?
Can I just
quick.
If the whole goal was Puravu,
yeah.
Okay, and that was the only goal, and it was Puravu for the whole race, not just you,
yeah.
For you, boy and a girl is essential, but that you created the world.
Right. So you're making an assumption. Meaning you're making an assumption, saying, "Well, that's for sure the reason for the mitzvah."
No, I have no idea. If you look at it from the angle,
I understand. Right. That's why Beis Hillel is quoting that pasuk of Zachar and Nekevah. But if you don't quote that, if there could be other sources for it as well. Source for Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai knew the pasuk as well. He learned. He was at least Maver Sedra for Parshas Bereishis. You know, so he knew that pasuk. And he felt that there are sources that indicate the other way. Okay, so...
I don't know, if you think the whole race, not just you personally, but the race, but more girls. Because boy can more kids, girls, boys, man can have more than one wife. If you have more one boy and three girls, you can have more kids.
Okay.
I'm just in that logic.
Okay. I think, I mean, there are, what do we say, there are more women in the world than men by like one percentage point. However, I've heard that there's more men that are born than women. And men die earlier. That's why there's more women than men, because men die earlier.
That leads to a lot of
discussions,
but to be honest.
Yes, that leads to a lot of discussions, yes. So now we move on to, so I'd like to, we discussed a couple of weeks ago some of the fancy topics with regards to Purim. So we'll continue that discussion a little bit. So I gave you out a little bit of a page here. This is a page from Shulchan Aruch, Siman Aleph. So in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Aleph, Sif Hei is not on this page. Right? So in Siman Aleph, Sif Hei, that's where it says the following. That's where it says the halacha is, Kimet Shiesh Adam Zachar Mekeva, Kai Mitzvah Pur Revu, Vahu Shalo Yehaben Siris HaNekeva Islandis, right? That if he has a boy and a girl, he has fulfilled the Mitzvah Pur Revu, provided that the boy is not a eunuch and the woman is not a... is not islandess, meaning that she's not going to be able to have children. Fine. Next, if he has a boy and a girl and dies, so then he's got to replace them unless they already had children. However, so then we get into the following interesting topic here. So on the top of this page here, it says, Bitu v'anakeva baspin ahol v'mishen b'nim heim b'im harei kaimus v'puravu. Aval. The second line, im hayu lo ben ubas umetu, if you had a boy and a girl and they die, v'niach echa mehem zachar unikeva, adayin lo kayem mitzvah zu, right? And one of them left a boy and a girl, only one of them left a boy and a girl, so he hasn't yet fulfilled puravu, because only either his boy is moving on or his girl is moving on, but not both his boy and a girl. Haga, comes the Ramah and says, haya haben mamzer ocherish shote v'katan kayem mitzvah. Now, if he has a son that is a mamzer, a cherish, a shota, or a katan, he has fulfilled that mitzvah.
Yes.
Okay. What?
Yes.
He has, yeah.
Well.
That's what it meant. Now, it sounds like even though they're not going to have children, it seems to be his implication is that they're not going to have children, but they physically could have children. Being a mamzer is allowed to have children.
Right.
A, he physically can, and B, it's mutter for him too. It might not be the best idea, right? But he does, it is possible to have children. On this section, the Chelkas Mechokek has the following question, right? Yeshli Histap, which for, you know, as this Chelkas Mechokek was written several hundred years ago, it was theoretical then. It had been theoretical for hundreds of years before that as well, and probably theoretical always before it, although there is a possibility it wasn't always theoretical. And now, in the year, you know, starting the year 1930, already in the 1800s already, it starts becoming practical. Right, what is that? So Yeshli Histapik Isha Shnis Avra Bibam Bati. What about a woman that becomes pregnant in a bathhouse? Bim kayim ha'av puravu, right? Does the father fulfill the mitzvah of puravu? Bim mikri b'no l'chol davar, right? And is the son considered his son for everything? Right? Now, those are two separate questions, right? Number one is, has the father fulfilled puravu? And B, is the son considered the father, right? Are they considered related? Right? One can make a case that they are, that yes and no for either way. But that's his question. He says... Right, uvilakute maharil nimsa sheben sira haya bino shil yirmia, that ben sira was the son of yirmia sherachat bimbambati, right, who washed in the bathhouse, right, ki sira bigamatria yirmiyahu, because sira equals yirmiyahu. I'm not sure who that is. Okay, etc. So what's going on here, right? So there is a book out there in the what's known as the Apocrypha, right? It's called the Alphabet of Ben Sira, right? And there, this story is recorded. That Yirmiyahu was in the bathhouse. Yirmiyahu was not a very popular guy, even though he told the truth, and now he's got, you know, a book that's part of a bestseller. But at the time, he wasn't very popular, and people were picking on him. So he went into the while he was in the bath one day, he was accosted in the bath, and he emitted some amount of seed. His daughter, you know, that was the men's hours, then the woman's hours are an hour later, right? His daughter goes in, his daughter absorbs that zera, right? And she becomes pregnant, and that child is Ben Sira. Now, the historic Ben Sira, if you look at Wikipedia, lived during the Bayachini period, and he was considered the Greek, etc. But this places him several, not that many centuries earlier, but several centuries earlier, to actually being the son of Yirmiyahu, both the son and the grandson of Yirmiyahu. Right. Right. All of those trivia questions that they ask about Noach and his daughters, right? That what you know, like who could be the first cousin, but yet the father and the uncle at the same time, right? So all the answer to all those questions is Noach and his kids, right? But you could also have the same questions with Yirmiyahu and Ben Sira, right? Because he's both Ben Sira in theory is both the son and the grandson of Yirmiyahu, right? So, anyways, this idea is quoted, and this idea even makes its way into the Gemara. The Gemara itself has this discussion. A Gemara in Chagiga Daf Tesvav. I'm forgetting now if it actually talks about... No, right, Ben Sira's name is mentioned there. The Gemara has the following question. Can a woman who is still a Besula, a woman who is still considered a virgin, but yet has a child, can that woman marry a Kohen Gadol? That's the question that the Gemara asks. Wow. So the Gemara says that's ridiculous, right? How, right? There is, you know, if you know the birds and the bees, right? How is that possible? That's going to happen, right? So the Gemara first suggests that if anybody's ever learned at the beginning of Maseches Ksuvos, that Shmuel claims that he has the ability to impregnate women without actually knocking out their basulos. Okay, that's one possibility. And then the Gemara says, "Oh, I got another idea." All right, like a woman, like a case that was born in the bathhouse, right? A baby a woman that was impregnated in the bathhouse. So she's still considered a basula, right? No man has ever been with her, but yet she's become pregnant and she's had a child. The Gemara says, "How could that possibly be? That physically is impossible because we have a brisa, right?" Whenever the Gemara asks a physical question for a brisa, it's always like, okay. But when the Gemara has a brisa that says kol zerash eino yorei kachetz, that any zera which doesn't come out like an arrow, that doesn't come out with the force of the man, isn't able to impregnate. So this is just from the bathhouse. It's not yorei kachetz. The Gemara says, well, it was once yorei kachetz. I mean, it once came out, and now it's out there, and now it can impregnate, right? So what is the status of that pregnancy? So here, the Chelkas V'Chelkei here clearly says that. I think that it works, that it's considered related. How do you know that? Because Ben Sira is known as the son/grandson of Yirmiyahu. That's a raya. That's his raya. Right? That's his proof. The Beis Shmuel seems to share that assumption. I think it's it's on your sheet. It's the underlined part, right? Right? Kasim Chelkas V'Chelkei, right? About four lines down. In the wide lines, kasa b'chelkas machokek yishli stapik isha shnis avra bimbambati, right, a woman who was impregnated in the bathhouse ima av kayim puravu v'imnikri b'nolachol davar, right, has the father fulfilled puravu, is he called the son for everything? V'yishli havi raya imasha kasa b'agos smak v'habach hevi b'yordeyasim kuvtzadi hey, right, isha muzheres sha'al tishkav al sadin, right, that we have another halacha and right, a similar type of din that a woman is warned not to sleep on the sheets where sheshachav aleim ish acher, where a different man has slept. I mean, she shouldn't, right? You have to change the sheets between guests. Yes, I. Yeah, all right. We won't share that story on tape. Ish acher pen tis. What? Pentis av? Well, no, the Maven Yavin is here. We just have some practical experience with this. Pentis avir mishichvat zera shel acher, right? Why? Because there might be some zera still on the sheets, right? Gzeir shemi yisachu sumi aviv, right? Nishma dahavi bino luchol davar, right? And there's concern that she's going to be impregnated from zera, from sperm that is on the seat, that is on the sheets, and she's going to have a baby, right? And that baby is going to have no idea who its siblings are. It's going to end up marrying its sibling, which, by the way, is a serious, serious concern, right? That bizman hazeh, that now you have these sperm banks and things like that, right? The idea of, and I remember reading an article in one of the magazines that apparently the U.S. is one of the largest exporters of sperm in the world, maybe the largest exporter of sperm. I think that or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it's the largest importer. I'm pretty sure it's the largest exporter. And there are, you know, there are men who like do this. You know, they'll just, right, and they have thousands of children, right, from people that are using all the sperm that comes from. That comes from the same person. So it's a significant concern that they're actually going, and they also desire. That's what the article was about. The article was about that these men, when they're in college and can use the extra $50 to go to a ball game, so they'll just do this, and they'll sign that. I'm not interested in knowing who this goes to. I don't want to have it. It's going to be sealed, blind, I have nothing to do with this. And then 10 years later, they're like, I wonder if I have, a dozen kids out there and I'd like to meet them, right? So what is the meaning of a thing that he signs that says, I don't care who my kids are, I never want to meet them? So now 10 years later, you're going to be bound by this agreement that you signed when you were half drunk 10 years earlier? Like, how do you do that? So that's what that article was about. So here you go. So you have Chalkas Machlokik, you have a Beis Shmuel, that both seem to indicate that such a thing would A, relate to the parent, and B, be a fulfillment of the parent's puruvu. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about the idea, the question of whether you can then, so if that's the case, let's say you have, a couple has five children already. They say, we're going to have one more, five boys, and we want to have a girl. Or five girls, and we want to have a boy. And we're going to have one more kid, and we're not going to have any more after that. Right? So can they say, instead of doing a natural, let's do artificial insemination. We'll figure out a way to separate the boys and the girls, which could be done and is done today relatively easily. Only a few extra $1,000 you could do this. It's not that big of a deal. And we're going to ensure that we're going to have a boy or we're going to have a girl. We're going to have exactly what
you
we
wouldn't have
want.
To use abortion, like. You wouldn't have to abort the girl.
Oh, sure not. Sure you wouldn't have to abort. No. You wouldn't have to abort the girl. There's two ways of doing it. One way is to... I know what you're talking about. One way is to look at the... to fertilize the children. And then you have five fertilized eggs that have... Right? And you look inside them to see what they all are. That's one way of doing it. But I recall the other way of doing it, which is a little less accurate, but still pretty good, is you just put them in a centrifuge.
Yeah,
and one of them is heavier than the other one, and you can quickly divide up the boys and the girls, right? You can, yeah. Science is amazing, right? So could you do that? Is that recommended? So that for Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said he didn't think was appropriate. That was an inappropriate thing to do, to separate them in that way. However, Shlomo Zalman said if there is a different reason, not to fulfill the mitzvah of Puruvu, but if there is a different reason that one would want to do it, he thought it was mutter, right? So what would other reasons include? I already mentioned these the other week. One would include if there's a hemophiliac, right? So hemophilia is only boys and not girls. So if you have a risk of hemophilia, so let's make sure we only have girls and not have boys, and that way we won't have that problem, right? Or another issue he had that I've heard brought up, it's not mentioned here, but if it's a Kohen who's we're not going to use his, we're going to use a donor sperm and in the male and it's a Kohen, right? So now you're going to have a child and the child's not a Kohen, right? Because the father is, right? So the father gets Birchas Kohenim and the son is a Nebuch, got Shlishi, or V, right? So everyone's going to know, so that's embarrassing. So therefore we mattered that that you allow them to do what's called PGD, pre-implantation genetic diagnosis, and ensure that they only have girls, that you don't wind up with that situation. And I am told, I don't know if this is still true, I heard, this is 10 years ago that I heard this, that the Israeli government will pay for it. Israeli government in their socialized medicine system that they have, where they will pay to have several attempts of artificial insemination or in vitro fertilization. Right, insurance will cover that. In this country, they don't cover it, but in that country, they do cover it. They will pay the additional amount of money to ensure that we don't have this Kohen situation. Right, which is pretty wild. I mean, that's a pretty amazing thing. Okay, so a few more issues here that he discusses. He has a long debate here, and the originally this idea of artificial insemination coming from the husband, there were many that were against it, that felt that it shouldn't be done, and they revolve around several concerns. Right, so one concern is that they're not related anyways, and it's called Ashkata Zera, meaning why are you allowed to give up? Why are you allowed to emit the seed? You're allowed to emit the seed because a child is going to come from it. Well, it only makes sense that we only care if a child's going to come from it if you're going to get a mitzvah for it. If you're not going to get a mitzvah for it, so then what really is the value in having the child? Now, one could claim, well, of course we want to have children. I mean, that's a good thing anyways. But that was challenge number one. And challenge number two, which was brought up by many people more from the 1950s and earlier. Divrei Malkiel lived in the middle of the 1800s, and he is the source for all those that aser. Right? So this has been going on for a while. Right? So Divrei Malkiel said that you can't ensure proper hashgacha. So you can't ensure proper to make sure that it actually ends up with the right person and there's no mixing of semen and things like that. So you can only not ensure proper hashgacha until you put in mechanisms to ensure proper hashgacha, right? Until you figure out ways to make sure it happens. So that's the way it's done today. The way it's done today is that there are mashkichim, mostly women. There are several women in my shul. There is a Bryn Mawr Hospital has a fertilization unit, and there are several women in my shul that are involved there and serving as mashkichot. There are, I don't know if they want their names to be known about it, you know people that are involved with these things. And, it's a big mitzvah, to make sure things are done. It's a question nowadays how much you really need it. I mean, this was in the 1800s, early 1900s. It's unclear how careful they were. But nowadays with if you find out that it's not really your kid, and there's ways of finding out that it's not really your kid, right? The possibility of lawsuits is enough to probably make sure that all of these labs are, I mean, these labs are done very professionally. I've been to one, I've heard from others. These are extremely professional. I've been to more than one. These are extremely professional operations. To think that they actually would mix things up, it's a little hard to believe. But yet, when firm people are involved with this, they generally will pay the extra few $100 to make sure that there is hashgacha there. There is one other issue here, which based on that Gemara and Chagiga, which we'll just throw out, and that is there's a Rabbeinu Chananel on that Gemara, where he seems to say that this isn't considered a regular birth. So what do we care that it's not a regular birth? I mean, a regular birth, so there are halachos that require, are contingent on a regular birth. And the two most prominent ones are? Pinyon on Ben is one, and? Whether a bris would be on Shabbos or not. Right? When there is a cesarean, right? So the child is... there's no pinyon aben, right? It has to be a natural birth for there to be a pinyon aben. So pinyon abens are rare enough anyways. No one really picks up on that. But if a child is born, if there's a boy is born on Shabbos, so the bris will be the following Shabbos, unless it was done by way of cesarean. Done by way of cesarean, so then you would hold off. So you'd hold off till the following day. So what about this? So the Rabbeinu Chananel seems to imply that not only is it unnatural on the way out, but if it's unnatural on the way in. If it's unnatural on the way in, so you also would be exempt from that. So that obviously was theoretical for centuries and centuries. Like, what does that mean? Until it wasn't theoretical, right? And this Rabbeinu Chananel, which is on the page of Chagiga, but, to learn in depth the Rabbeinu Chananel is on Chagiga Daf Tesvav, he dug up this Rabbeinu Chananel and said, aha, wait a second, maybe we shouldn't have brises on Shabbos for such children. And this is a machlokes. So Rav Yashuv here, so he has this discussion here. Where'd it go? Right. So I remember when I was in a... So I remember when I was in a course that was discussing these things, so we learned this sugya. I think Rav Yash, I'm trying to find the, let's see where it is here, someplace, one of the lists here, someplace here has this, I remember, it's in the other volume. So one of the, I think Rav Shlomo Zalman says you should hold off, I think Rav Yash is quoted as holding off, but then he says, but then I talked to Rav Yash later and he might have changed his mind. Remember, I'm pretty sure when I was doing this year we had a shiur from Rabbi Willig about Mordechai Willig, we asked him this question. He said that in those situations, he tells them to just say the boy is yellow. I mean, you're going to know. I mean, if there's a cesarean, so you say, I had a cesarean, okay. Everybody knows the bris is pushed off to Sunday. But if you say you had a cesarean, you really didn't. So you can't really hide that as easily. So he says, just say the boy's yellow and hold off an extra day. Although I've heard that he may have changed his mind, but I don't recall. So that is a question that's out there. Different rabbanim are going to go to a different poskim or figure it out on their own about how to paskin in that in that situation. Okay, so I guess we'll stop here and continue on tomorrow. Oh, was I not on? Oh, sorry, Mark. How do I end this? Where's my red dot?
The red dot?
Oh no, the red dot.
I don't know how to end the share. Oh well.